If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Clueless.
Yeah, she told you that.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions? Yeah, Cruel Intentions. Yep.
Holy crap. And they dragged that one out of the corner of my fucking brain.
She got, she's all church girl, and then she's like, undo the... I mean, that's pretty gnarly.
The gnarliest I know about that is because I jerked off that movie plenty of times.
Plenty of times. That's the first thing we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, what's up, you little jock monkeys? This is If Lands Could Kill.
All you ilkites out there.
I'm Knife City.
I'm A Quickness.
Reich.
Hot Sauce.
And welcome to episode 8. We are just chock full of knowledge this episode, you know, whether it's inappropriate behaviors sexually or whether it's cooking skills. We cover the whole gambit here on Ilk, and we'd like you to join us on this journey. So, gentlemen, what has your journey been like since our last talkings?
Oh, our journey has been fucking insane.
Has it been into Nick's?
It's been into Nick's. Yeah, I've fallen in down the rabbit hole into Nick's, and it's been good. I've seen the light and ridden the moonworm.
And you played new cards.
And I played some new cards. Holy actually, Jesus. I have a new deck other than red-green, but it has green in it. But we'll talk about that a little later. But yeah, I haven't been doing too much magic. I've actually been focusing on learning some programming. I've been learning C-sharp because I've been using a game engine called Unity, which is like kind of like an all-inclusive game engine, and then they do all their scripting with C-sharp and all this boring stuff, because I want to make games just for fun, so I'm kind of learning that. Yeah, but I've been fucking, like, late at night, just been staying up, just walking fucking these tutorial videos and, like,
PC
reading books.
Mobile?
Either. Any of it.
Oh. It works. So, we expect any magic apps in the future?
No, probably not magic apps. That'll probably be too hard.
You have to keep up with that shit.
Yeah, so you have to be, like,
to be on
top of that.
Every day, databasing, fucking...
Okay, so... I guess Wizards, like a couple years ago, put out this ill-received deck builder app, and like it's been lost to the ages because it just sucked balls. Reich, I give you a challenge.
Oh, challenge
that system. You put out an app that is half the app that was.
That seems
like incomplete.
That seems
like
just half very easy.
There.
Yeah,
pretty much you've already done it.
Yeah, I'm
like
already,
just
I'm
for
there.
Standard. Yeah. Like
just for standard
fuck the,
for a deck
like,
builder.
Yeah,
that's probably not that bad. I just need a database. They probably just you know.
It's not hard. You probably pull it off Cockatrice.
Yeah,
got all the stuff.
Yeah, they have all that cool stuff. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. Just fucking geeking out, learning code. And
have you seen that program on Steam where you can like build your own RPG?
Oh yeah,
yeah
RPG Maker.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's pretty cool.
It was like on sale for like $60. Like it was like $100+. And I so wanted to like get it, but I was like, that's one of those things that I'm never gonna do. It sounds like this great idea in my head where I'm like, I can make an RPG and you can be in it and you can be in it and I'll make all this funny dialogue and I'll just $60 goodbye and I'll never do anything.
How much time you think you need to spend to make a complete experience?
Exactly, you know? Like a 15-minute game would take me a year.
Probably. Exactly.
Like one person doing it, it's tough.
You'd be
like,
so fucking sick of your game by that. These jokes are so stupid. You'd be going back to the first joke you did and just making up new ones over and over again.
Exactly.
Just
throwing the computer out the window.
Yeah.
But I'll start with Pong and then I'll work my way up to the Magic the Gathering.
Pong with like real physics.
Like like 3D Pong or something cool. Like Breakout or something fucking cool. But anyways.
Lately you know what I did is I played The Last of Us, the DLC for Last of Us. I don't know if anyone's here has played that at all, but that was Last of Us was a game for PlayStation 3, won like all the fucking Game of the Year awards last year, and it is probably the best game I've ever played. And they had a little like 2 to 3 hour downloadable content for it. That did you guys ever play the final DLC for Mass Effect?
No, actually, I haven't played any of the DLC.
You haven't played any of the DLC?
Like, all the Mass Effects have had DLC come out for, and I've not played any of it.
So,
but I love the Mass Effect.
The Mass Effect, the final one, it was called Citadel, I believe. and it was like a send-off to the series, you know, where it was like lighthearted and fun, rather than being extra missions and just and extra serious missions. It would have like a couple of serious battle missions, but probably over half the DLC for Mass Effect and for Last of Us is like lighthearted and fun, and it's just like characters interacting and telling like the little tiny fun stories, like, hey, you remember back here when we did this, whatever? Oh my god, you're a waste.
Well, the game was so intense, like both of those games are like fucking
heavy. Exactly, they're real dark, and they needed this like lighter send off, and it's still, they're both still dark because they still, you know, take certain turns and maybe people live or whatever, you know, die. It was like different shit that happens in each one. But the DLC was really good. I mean, it was really fun. And if you're looking for something that's like heavy in action and all this stuff, like the rest of the game, it's not like that. It's just a fun little send off, so.
It's cool, yeah. Like for some reason, DLC and me, I just don't.
DLC and me?
Yeah, it's just, I don't do it. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm sure like they're real. There's like good DLC out there, but it's just the fact that I have to pay for extra content for the game that I already bought, it's kind of like, like maybe one day when it's like a dollar a piece.
Fair enough. Like I just think I love sticking in the universe.
Like yeah, extending you know? Your
anytime your time. When I like Borderlands is a good example of a company or a game franchise that pumps out DLC. And so you get done with the game and you know that you just have to wait like 3 weeks and they're going to pump out another 10-hour DLC, and then 2 months later there's another one. It's like there's, you can get 100 hours out of a linear game. It's ridiculous.
It's like if it's worth it, you know, like if you are invested and you like the game, then fuck yeah, DLC. But like. Like, well, every game pumps out DLC now, it feels like.
And it's, well, my
like,
problem with that is because a lot of companies now, they have DLC on the game disc for, like, week one unlocks. They actually ship it with that content already on your game disc, and then, like, after a certain amount of time, they'll unlock it so you can, you can pay extra or do, you know, get this extra content. I'm like, that's cool from a marketing perspective. But as like me as a game player, I'm like, fuck those guys, man.
That Street Fighter had that. There's like, a lot of EA. Ubisoft has.
Yeah, it's like day one DLC. Like, you could just had it day one in the fucking game.
It downloads like 80 kilobytes.
That was when DLC first came out. I don't know how much they do that now. I'm sure they still do, but I think that was like really like.
I think when it first company came, had a lawsuit over
game
something.
Like
they did, yeah. DLC. It's a that's a pain in the ass. That's, I don't know. It's pretty messed
anyways.
Up.
Yeah, it's here nor there.
So that's pretty much it. I've just been playing some games and working this new job position I got. So it's been fine. Everything's been good. Solid. Not a whole lot of work to do. But
solid poops.
Solid poops, dude. All the time.
Yeah.
Error. It's
the way to live.
Dude, it's the way to live. Have you guys heard of this new game called Stick of Truth?
Shut up. who said that?
So our buddy Peppermint Swirl, who does like our art and stuff, he was like, you guys talked about that fucking game for like 5 episodes.
So what do you have to say about
it? Really?
I still haven't finished it.
Oh,
I got like halfway through it and then I just, other shit popped up.
Yeah.
Like it's not, like, okay, so I got the hacked version and like.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And so, like, with my stupid virus protection software, like, it recognizes the patch or whatever as like a virus. And so every time, like, I have to go drop it back in the folder to, like, to open it up again, and it's just a pain in the ass. So.
Yeah, it sounds like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Might as well just pay the $40.
Your convenience is something I pay for.
Yeah. Like, that is so $40.
But you know what? When I've been looking at like Steam, because when I first started playing Steam on Steam, I just played Dave Defeat, and that's like all I did for like 7 years. You know, like
Knife City, Dave Defeat.
Yeah, Knife City's talking about the Counter Strike mod Dave Defeat, not the actual Steam version of Dave Defeat, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about
there was a source version of Dave Defeat.
Yeah, not the standalone.
You're talking about the old school, the good Dave Defeat.
Yeah, the shitty looking Dave Defeat.
You know, that's still one of the most played games on Steam. That still is like in the top 10, I think, or top 15.
It's one of my favorite games of all time.
I could talk about that game forever.
that's where Knife City, the name came from. Just loving to shank people on that game. Make them rage quit. That's all I played. I didn't care about any of the rest of the shit. But as of the past couple years, I've been actually like wanting to get games on there because, you know, they got deals all the fucking time. so I ended up buying Empire at War. It was on sale for the May 4th, like, Star Wars sale. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a real-time strategy kind of...
It's a Star Wars game, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's Star Wars, but it's like real-time strategy kind of Age of Empires sort of Star Wars game, and it's pretty cool. But the game I really enjoyed, which all I wanted was, like, I've been looking for a game that's just like just an arcade game. Just something I can play for like 15 minutes, and it just
like
kind of...
Like a Contra thing?
Yeah, kind of like a Contra thing. Just like something simple, maybe side-scroller, maybe
Metal
Birds...
Slug.
Yeah, oh, maybe Bird's Eye View, something. And I saw Spartan Assault, Halo Spartan Assault on Xbox One.
Those
and
are quick.
It, yeah,
quick
matches. And it was like... Fucking 20, 25, I don't fucking know. Too much for, like, I saw the screenshots or whatever. I was like, that looks cool, but I don't want to pay that much money. So I saw it on Steam for, like, $8 or something. I was like, fuck yeah. Got it on Steam. Exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Didn't you?
I have it on the 360. It came out only for the Microsoft tablet, the Surface.
Yeah, the Surface.
Came out with that. They had an exclusive deal for that shit. And then they finally brought it out for the Xbox One. And then they brought it out for the 360. And then now it's, like, everywhere. So...
I think it's awesome.
Great game.
I love it. It's exactly what I want in like one of those little 15-minute
pick up and play.
Yeah, quick. Kill some time. Just simple, and it's Halo, and
it's
like Halo.
Fucking Halo.
Yeah. So I've been playing that. Like I haven't sat down for like an hour and played it. But I'll play like 15 minutes here and there, and I'm really impressed with it.
Right. Quick, what you got?
Not much. The usual. I haven't been playing really too many new games, as I usually don't.
League of Legends, right?
League of Legends,
just
you know,
the staples.
Yeah,
World of
exactly.
Warcraft.
Actually, I haven't been playing World of Warcraft.
What?
Yeah, it's not enough. I'm waiting.
Isn't there, like, not going to be any more expansions for World of Warcraft
yeah,
now?
Yeah, the new expansion isn't out yet, and I was thinking about it, because...
Is that, like, the last one
yeah,
they're going to do?
It's the only thing I like to do in Warcraft is raid, and you need to, like, 25 other people, and then, like, there's the thing, like, I started late in the expansion, so it's harder to get into the top tier like I used to be of the guilds, so...
You can either be top tier in Magic, or you can be top tier in League of Legends. Can't be both. You gotta choose one right now.
Nope, all three.
No, dude.
Yeah,
all three. Spread yourself thin.
Yeah, all right.
But,
so many hours in the day.
Right.
Yeah, I've just been doing that, and then, you know, put together a new deck. I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about definitely. And then I went to Friday Night Magic last night with my new deck, and it was more just a learning experience. I wasn't really expecting to win anything.
But you did?
I won a match
out
of
what?
Four. Yeah. So I lost to, like, a Bant control deck. I lost... to a Naya aggro deck.
Did you see like a lot of diversity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
everyone's playing
decks.
A lot of shit. That's awesome.
You know, there's like all different flavors of control decks. Obviously, there's mono black devotion and like the green red / Naya / Jund shell.
It's looking good. I like this
going around. So it's a lot of things like that. There's one lady playing like a green white heroic deck, which just She pulled a Peppermint Swirl, where she, like, giant growth, like, three times on, like, turn two.
and then the deck fizzled.
And then by turn four, she didn't have any cards in her hand. She's like, shit, well, I don't know. And then she just kept drawing lands after that. I was like, yeah. And after that, I felt kind of bad. So I was like, yeah, you might want to space those out just in case, because once you run out of cards, you're pretty much screwed, you know, so...
That is the Peppermint Swirl, just like, shoot your wand super early, I hit you for 10, and that's it for the rest of the game.
Exactly. Now I'm done.
So, yeah, she said she started around the same time we started, and I was like, okay, she was borrowing the deck from one of her friends, so she didn't really know what to do with the deck, and just the way she was playing, she didn't seem like she was... too knowledgeable about certain lines of play, so I tried to help her out, let her know, hey, you might want to space those out a little bit. No, I did refer some people to the podcast. There's one really cool guy at the end. We were playing a couple matches after our round, just because it ended like with 30 minutes left. He was playing a like a Simic devotion deck, kind of.
Sounds
which
good.
I thought you would like, Hot Sauce, because it's a little up your alley. It was playing like Garrick, Prime Speaker, Arbor Colossus, like Keratin. It was actually playing Cloning Hydra, which won him both games against me, because he had Cloning Hydra and then he has the Simic Charm. So every time I try to deal with the Cloning Hydra, he'd hexproof it, and then I'm dead. Like, mm-hmm. I can't put out enough creatures to block.
Then it's trample anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's so sick. I got blown out by Beastly. That. And,
so it's probably like a mono green devotion, but then there's like, you have to splash in blue for all like the charms. And did he play the Planeswalker or anything like that?
He played like Kiora.
He played Kiora.
Yeah, 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 okay. Stuff like that. So like, and like, the more and more I play against the Kiora with like, kind of tempo-y, control-y elements, the more I really think she's going to be an all-star coming up.
Oh, she's a good card. In
this format. Yeah, definitely. I see like a lot of people...
Sweater puppies, too. Sweater puppies,
yeah. She had exactly. Them sweater pups.
I see a lot of people playing one, they minus her, and then they play another one, you know, because they play a land, draw an extra card, and then they up it after that, and then it's like, it's so hard to come back from that, you know, it's really good. And another interaction I saw that was interesting is that they played Kiora, and then I had a Vraska out, and then they plus one the Vraska. So when I plus one my Vraska, meaning they can attack into it, and it doesn't deal damage back. Because you don't deal damage to it, or it doesn't deal damage back.
But so, Vraska doesn't deal damage.
But it destroys.
But it doesn't do combat damage. Yeah,
but you're not doing damage to it. So it's like you're not really doing anything, but...
Wait, what?
We'll read it later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interaction, I'm
yeah. Not we'll go over that. Well,
I'm not thinking about it.
We'll get the drawing board out and make some little stick figures.
Or maybe we'll figure out in Noob's Knowledge later we'll on.
Do some advanced maths equations. But anyways. I'm sorry.
But yeah, anyway.
Well, now that that's dead in the water, anyway.
Continuing on.
So, what do we have to talk about next, though?
Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys know.
I know.
No, you don't.
I've always known.
I know the most.
So, there's a thing called the Pro Tour.
What?
Yeah.
Wait,
people
you become a professional?
People Magic? Play Magic professionally.
No.
For money? And they even, like...
$250,000 payout overall.
They videotape it. On, like, handheld, you know, VHS.
Of course.
But, no, seriously, so the Pro Tour Journey into Nyx... is going on. Actually, right now, it kicked off yesterday.
We're recording Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Saturday morning-ish, early afternoon.
So, I mean, how much of it did you guys watch or check out?
I did catch a bit of it yesterday, because it kicked off on Friday, May 16th.
It was block constructed, meaning you can only use the cards in the Theros block.
Yeah, so Theros, Born of the Gods, and Journey into the Nyx were the three blocks you could pool your cards from.
It was block constructed slash limited for this Pro Tour.
Yeah, so they did, they did
yesterday was constructed, right?
Four or five rounds of limited or something like that.
No, I think it was...
they did a few rounds of limited, I think.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was a lot more than that. I think it was close to, like, seven or eight.
Oh, really? Rounds, yeah. So, yeah, well, they kick it off with limited, and then once, like, those however many rounds of limited is done with the draft format, then they go into the block constructed, which are just all, like, crazy Elspeth block decks and shit. But it was really cool. I actually got to see a little bit on Friday. I was watching at work, and I saw some pretty cool decks, but I kind of guessed it, like... As soon as I heard that they're doing this and it was block constructed, I was like, yep, it's just going to be all Elspeth decks. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's going to have some form of white, either splashing white or, like, focused on white and be playing Elspeth. And actually, a lot of decks did have Elspeth, but the card that I saw that was, like, crazy good was the blue Prognostic Sphinx.
Yes.
That guy is crazy.
So,
three on attack. Discard a card hexproof, is that what it is?
Yeah, so he's a what? He's a five drop. I think he's two blue mana.
Yeah, three colorless.
Three colorless. And he is a 3/5 flying body, right? Mm-hmm. And he has the ability that every time you attack with him, you get to scry three motherfucking cards.
That's a
lot of scry. That is almost as good as drawing a card.
Some guy scrying nine cards.
I think that's better than drawing a card. Nine
cards.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Nine cards. I can do it nine times.
But yeah, so this guy is amazing. And he has the added bonus of discarding a card from your hand, and he gains hexproof, which is crazy.
So some people think that block constructed is a good indicator of what standard is going to be like after rotation.
I think that makes sense, yep.
Some, like, good all-star cards to build around.
So I just want to say right now that I think Reich kind of made an early prediction and picked up a bunch of prognostic sphinxes. And I think that might be, like, a win condition for blue. You know, and for, like, control decks. Because it misses a lot of the removal. So, like, Elspeth can't hit it. Last Breath can't hit it. Plus, it has fucking hexproof. Like,
flying
it's
evasion.
Flying has evasion, and it fucking scries three, dude. That is so. Yeah. That's such a.
And it's five toughness, so like, no, even a burn spell can't get to it.
The big thing about this is the three power is the main all star of this card because it dodges Elspeth's minus ability.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Oh, you said. Oh, yeah.
Were you not paying attention?
Well, yeah.
It dodges, hey, wait, hold on a second. So, Elspeth has a minus three ability.
Wait, what's Elspeth?
Okay, Elspeth.
Have you guys heard of this game called Stick of Truth? All
right. No, it has five toughness, so it dodges Anger of the Gods.
Oh, yeah, Anger of the Gods, and fucking all the burn spells that are out there right now.
The only burn spell that does hit is Faded Conflagration, if you don't give it hexproof, so that's pretty much it.
If they're going to waste that on that one card, then that's fine. You're probably going to hexproof it anyways, but...
Yeah.
Well, the thing that's nice about it, it dodges so much removal that you don't really need to worry too much about giving it hexproof because it's like, how many cards can actually deal with it? Mm-hmm. And if they do deal with it, fucking give it hexproof, and then you don't have to worry about it.
There's one card they were talking about in the Pro Tour that's an actual hard counter to Prognostic Sphinx, and that's Thassa's Ire. The one-drop enchantment where you pay four and you get to tap something. Because you think about it, you're going to do it pre-combat. You're going to tap it down before it attacks. So even if they want to give it hexproof, they still have to tap it anyways. So you're paying 4 mana to have them discard a card, and they can't attack with it. So they don't get to scry. It's 1 mana enchantment. You know, it comes down early. So and it's 4 mana to activate, so it comes before you can even play the Prognostic Sphinx.
Yeah, it's cool utility.
So, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's in the same color.
Yeah.
So usually if you're playing Prognostic Sphinx, you can play Fast Desire. So you really only have to worry about stuff like that in a
it's definitely a sideboard card, I'm sure. There's not, I mean, it's kind of thin otherwise, but I mean, I definitely play it as a sideboard.
Well, I mean, for like block constructed, I think it's probably good, but...
People play Debtor's Pulpit when the Return of Ravnica block was around, just to deal with Aetherling. And that's kind of like the same thing we're having right now.
I have no idea what Debtor's Pulpit is.
Yeah. Debtor's Pulpit, it's a 5 mana enchantment. It enchants land, and then you tap the land to tap a target creature.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, and especially since, like, a lot of the format is about going tall rather than wide. Tall meaning you're putting a lot of pants, like enchantments on stuff. Being able to tap down a creature is, I think, really good.
Yeah.
But then again, like, if you only have, like, one or two answers reliably to a card, then it's just, it's so powerful that, like, I think Prognostic Sphinx is going to be in every blue deck.
Yeah, we're going to have to see, because it's going to fill, because Aetherling's what, a 5-drop?
Six drop.
So I think
technically 7.
Yeah, Aetherling's going to be going away, so it might fill that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it doesn't have unblockable, or you can't, you know, where you can't block it, but, I mean, still, it's a good body.
Yeah.
Evasion's always so good.
If there's going to be a control deck that has blue in it, which, fuck, every, you know, good...
If you're playing control, you're playing blue.
Yeah, exactly.
To some extent.
So, I mean, I think that's going to be the closer in... Or to help close in a lot of blue decks just because of the scry, for one. You can find answers with it. And, I when you said you bought a bunch of them, I ended up buying... Because they're like 30 cents, and like the foils were like a dollar or something stupid, so I bought a bunch.
Well, we're going to have to see. Like, in the speculation thing, it's like it seems like a good buy right now because we don't know what's coming in the next set. But, I mean, it could very well be, you know, an all-star breakout card, or it could just fizzle, and there might be something better in M15 or the next blocks that, you know, take its place. But it is kind of like, for like 30 cents, I mean, you can't really beat that kind of speculation, even if it never, you know, comes to fruition and, you know, there's always that chance because you never know what's gonna come out.
Yeah, well, I mean, like when cards come out, and then people are like, "Oh, that card's no good." Like I try and look at it through its lifespan and standard. So like after rotation, like a lot of the cards that you know aren't played now or people think suck, like.
That's because there's an answer now, a different answer that's stronger now, but it won't be later.
Yeah, there's an answer now, or there's just something better you can play instead of that card. So I try and like look at it like into the future, you know? And so, I mean, I didn't do that with Prognosis, because I kind of took that a note out of your book, Reich, but I try and do that with like a lot of cards, and that's why I got a bunch of... Underworld Cerberuses.
Oh, yeah.
Cerberi.
Well, that's the cool thing about Magic, because you never know. Like, this block is, like, we already know the meta. Like, the meta is, like, set in stone. Like, even the Journey of the Knicks came out, and it didn't really shake up the meta too much for the standard portion. But it's like, once it rotates out and then we get our next block, it could be completely different. Like, right now, like, you know, Control and Mono Black are, like, the top dogs, right?
Like, prime example is Desecration Demon.
Yeah.
You know, before when it came out, it didn't really have a home. Everybody thought it sucked. Even though it was a 6-power flyer for 4 with a slight downside to it, like, nobody played that. Even though it was really good. And now, look, we get a whole new set, and it's in the best deck, pretty much, that you can get. So it's like, it's one of those things where you have to still look into the future. But the future is still uncertain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do have to say, I remember Hot Sauce playing it, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I've never seen that card before in my life. And he's like, I don't know why people don't play this card. It's fucking sweet. And then, boom, fucking Mono Black fucking started sucking Desecration Demon's dick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, man. Yeah. That card makes fucking Mono Black. That and Pack Rat are, like, the Mono Black.
Pack Rat and Underworld Connections. Pretty much what's Mono Black is.
So,
but there's a lot of other decks they're playing in the block. The thing I like about the Pro Tour right now is that they're doing block, and block is really diverse right now. There are a lot of different, like, because it's new, and there's not like a lot of like meta already established for it. So a lot of the pros are already kind of brewing something different. I mean, maybe there might be already an archetype like Mono Black or something like that. But it's like the pool of cards that they have is a lot more limited than standard. And so you're getting a little more diverse kind of changes in the deck. So they have like right now the All Stars are what, like a blue black green control, like a bug control. They have
Esper control.
Esper control. They have a red green Elspeth. Yeah. Decks or red green with Elspeth because Elspeth is just bonkers.
Yeah,
and there's some good freaking like I think even mono red showed up. There's like
there's some like aggro decks.
Some aggro decks. It's really cool to watch. But
yeah, I think there was a red white like heroic type strategy too.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that red green Elspeth. I think that's a real good indicator of once standard our rotation that I think red green is going to be a good position with Xenagos. And even just like Naya. Naya's, I think, going to be pretty strong.
Yeah. And especially because in red green, you have Pulse Crusher. I think it's going to be a little bit underrated. It's going to be one of those things. So, you know, the whole block was enchantment based. And we're going to see more enchantments going forward because they kind of want to still support it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just going to be really good.
Pulse Crusher is an all star. But he's just outclassed by the cards right now.
Dude, dodging a card that's going to be in the meta for a long time, Banishing Light.
Banishing Light, Chain to the Rocks, you know.
Yeah, Chain to the Rocks is going to be a next all star also. Once again, it didn't find a home until like this past probably like 3 or 4 months, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the red white burn. Or all that stuff was playing it much, and then now like it does, and there's a couple other things like the Naya. I think does they play them too?
I think they can. They probably will, like, play Banishing Light before they play.
Either way, I think that there's a couple cards like that are.
Yeah,
we'll have to see how it is. I think definitely red white with the new god, maybe after rotation. Depends on what M15 gives us and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to after rotation. But yeah, this Pro Tour is pretty cool. There's a lot of famous people out there.
Yeah.
They got a lot of the All-Stars back. But it's still going on right now. It's Saturday, so I think they're going in the top 8 today. But the cool thing about this Pro Tour is on Sunday, which is tomorrow for us, probably you'll probably know what's going on when you hear this. But they're announcing the new sets. That they codename Huey, Dewey, and Louis or something like Louie.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool. And I'm hoping to see like a lot of like enchantment stuff because I think devotion and enchantment stuff aren't going to go away in this next block. I think they might shift it a little bit, is my speculation, but I think there's still going to be a good influence on like devotion and enchantments.
Maybe some more hybrid cards.
Some cool hybrid cards. But I don't think they're going to detract too much from what they have now. Because otherwise, it's going to make all like the gods and all that stuff like that they made like you know
yeah
not as much playable as they already.
We're going to see some like double, triple color casting costs, you know, permanents coming into play.
That would be sweet.
Well, I don't see them supporting too much of what they've already done in the Theros block because every block. I mean, it
has a little theme.
Yeah, it has its own theme. So they did enchantment, so they don't want to like just
put out all enchantments.
Yeah, all
it doesn't have to be enchantments, but it should be the mana symbols. You know,
yeah, it's not hard to inadvertently just make devotion good because all you got to do is put pips in the casting costs.
Yeah, so. I'm not saying that they're gonna actively like make
suppress it or something.
Yeah,
like we're not doing any enchantments.
Yeah, but it's not gonna be like the main thing. Like it was in Theros.
Yeah,
like there's gonna be lots of colored pips on the cards. There's going to be enchantments, but it's not going to be a thing like it was in Theros. But what is probably going to happen is the players are going to pick all the things that support devotion. They're going to pick out all the things that support enchantments, and they're going to add it to the already existing meta of the Theros block, because that's what happens in every rotation. You know, you have this good chunk of cards, and then you just kind of pick and choose what to add to it until you know there's enough cards to where you can make your own sort
that's
of kind of
what we're seeing now. Like a lot of the decks you see now are based in Return of Ravnica, and they have supporting cards from Theros block in the deck.
Right.
So
well, the thing with Return of Ravnica is it's just the power levels off the charts.
Yeah,
so it's like you're not playing Return of Ravnica cards or that block.
But it's kind of like one of those design things. It's like as you design something and you move forward, you kind of want to like have a progression.
Yeah.
So you don't want to make like a block that feels inherently weaker than the one you just came from. So like, because that doesn't seem right. People will get put off by that because they want to play with new powerful cards. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I think I read somewhere that they are on this next set, they're doing a bottom up approach. Because like a lot of times they'll do like
Theros was top down.
Yeah, they'll make like good cards, like gods, and then they'll start building supporting cards from that. I think they're going to start with the not so amazing like supporting cards and build up that way, which will kind of be interesting.
Knife, you follow the lore a little bit. Is there anything that you think's going to happen in this next set? Is there any indication from like what in the previous stories and all that stuff? What's happening next?
Well, the second installment of Godsend just came out on the 13th.
Right.
What the fuck is today?
But that's just covering Theros.
Just covering Theros. But I wouldn't be surprised if at the end, like, it kind of gave an indication of the next plane that was going to happen.
I would think so.
But there's also, like, stories on, they call it the Mothership, which is Daily MTG. It's Wizards, website, you know, website where they give out all the news and everything. But they also put out, like, little lore stories. And so, like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was some slight indication of where we were going to go from there.
So what do you guys think? Do you think it's going to be a completely new plane, like Theros?
It's or are we going to, like, a new return? Plane. Mario Rosewater, whatever his name is, already says we're going to a new plane.
Oh, okay.
And,
exciting.
The story behind it, I'm pretty sure, is going to be what the Duels of the Planeswalkers 2015 is going to be about. It's about Garruk and him being cursed by the Chain Veil. And I think that's what the story is going to be about this time around. 15 is going to kind of cover the Garruk and like kind of bringing up the problem. And then the next block, I think we're going to go in and resolve the problem pretty much.
So, for those who don't know, Garruk, the Veil Cursed, was like a black. He was like poisoned by Vraska or cursed by Vraska.
Was it Vraska or Liliana?
I'm sorry, Liliana.
Yeah.
All those hot black planeswalkers, you know. So Garruk the Cursed, the Veil Cursed, was set in the Innistrad block. Or whatever it was, right?
I think that you're thinking of, like, Garruk the Relentless or something. The flip card.
That was the Innistrad card, yeah.
That was Innistrad, yeah.
That was Innistrad.
But when you flipped it, it was the Veil Cursed, right?
Yeah.
So, just by...
Well, no, maybe.
I don't know.
So, just by that...
I don't know.
And the Innistrad block was kind of had, like, a dark kind of, like, zombies and vampires and sort of just, like, a dark theme to it.
Right.
So I think
we might get a recurrence of a dark
theme. It's going to be like a dark theme where like Theros was kind of like a bright, you know, like monsters, monsters are heroic, and
now we're gonna get like emo guys,
heroes, exactly.
So it was like this very brightly themed set where I hope that we're going into like this, you know, darkly themed set because I don't know, that's my thing when I play. I like the dark side.
Sweet. So we got more mono black.
Well, I mean, just by looking at. You know, Waste Not, the enchantment from M15, that's clearly a very good black enchantment. And so, I'm hoping it's going to be...
Enchantment?
Well, black doesn't have any good, like, fucking constellation. Well, I mean, it does, but it's not...
Doomwing Giant?
Black is usually the weakest when it comes to, like, enchantment.
Grim Return, the 1/4, where you lose a life when an enchantment comes in?
Yeah, or...
It's not better than, like, Eidolon of Blossoms.
Though. Yeah.
No, Eidolon of Blossoms.
But it's what Black wants to do, but and it's a good body.
Erebos is Dictator Erebos. That Dictate. So anyways,
yeah.
I just hope the next set is very darkly themed.
A lot of emo kids running around.
Yeah.
Some, like, chains and trench coats and
yeah.
knee-high boots.
Smoking menthol cigarettes.
It probably is going to be, because I think, you know...
Hair in your eyes.
Garrick is... he's now been cursed, so I think he's going to have this little army, and it's going to be all, like, cursed. Like, it could be, like, zombies or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
or, like, undead wolves.
Yeah. Undead wolves. Yeah, that sounds great, honestly.
Undead wolves.
So I heard that they were... Or not, I didn't hear. This was, like, speculation from... I forget where it was, but they were saying that they kind of want to make, like, the Planeswalkers a little different, you know?
Jace is coming back!
I'm sad that they're not going to reprint Garu, because I know if they're doing, like, this curse thing or whatever, then they're not going to reprint the group that's in M14. Oh, yeah. Man, because I love this... I really want this group to work, but it's just he doesn't have a home and a lot of the things, and I was hoping next block that I'd be able to play him, but... Maybe next
we're
time.
We're going to get... Was it Geisa?
The elf
chick.
Yeah, the elf plane. Oh,
that would be kind of cool for green.
She's gonna be
because I don't think Garou's gonna be green in this next set.
No, he's gonna be black.
15, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And if he is green, it's gonna be black green. But I think he's just gonna be straight black.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But, so stick around for. I mean, by the time you listen to this,
you already know what the names and probably the plane that's gonna be set in.
Yeah. So us speculating is probably stupid.
Well, I just want to. If we were right, if we were wrong, come back to this and be like, hey, you know, we were right on the money, or
you guys need to shit all over us in the comment section.
Or like, you guys have no idea what the fuck you're talking about,
idiots,
you retards.
And so a lot of the conspiracy. Set, or not a lot, but some more of the conspiracy set has been spoiled.
Oh, some good cards I've been waiting to play with.
And just like I thought, I think we're going to want to draft it. I was excited about conspiracy, even though it's like not a part of a block or anything, but it looks fun, and we're going to get some older cards and
some new cards,
and I'm totally excited for it, and I think I will be getting a box just because it sounds fun.
You guys are all rich.
I know, right? Damn, a box.
A box like $200 or something.
$10,000.
That's what they were talking about. It's going to be about $200.
I think we already talked about this on the last podcast about the Jace effect, about how they need to overprice things in the beginning before they actually go on sale, because mm-hmm. what if there is something really valuable in the set, you know? So hopefully, you know, it won't be $200, but if it is, I still might...
We might just chip in.
I don't think it's going to be $200, because I don't think the Jace effect really takes into account on the conspiracy, just because the 15 other format playable cards are reprints. And everything's new, and then they can't go into standard decks or anything. I mean, I'm pretty sure you might be able to play it in Commander. I'm not sure what it is with that. But, the 15 regular format cards are reprints.
Right.
So, I think it if it's anything higher than a regular booster box, it's just because it's probably going to be like a limited run, limited, you know, print run or something like that to make it so it's... not that widely distributed, so they can't lower the price. But that's probably gonna, because like there's even then like the cards that we're printing are like very powerful cards that are pretty expensive. So, you know, they're definitely played in pretty much 85% of the decks in Legacy. So,
fuck yeah! So, ladies and or gentlemen, I've heard some rumors, some mutterings,
little birds,
some mumblings. You. That you guys, specifically Reich and Aquickness, have built some new decks.
New standard decks.
That aren't what we usually play.
Yeah.
Outside of the color.
Well, I mean, not even, like, that you usually play. It's just you built new decks. Because red-green monsters and control gets a little tiresome.
I have the most awful deck in standard.
You have the most
right
dirtily
now.
Deck.
Yeah, I have the most dirtily deck ever in standard right
and
now.
I love it.
And it takes forever to play a game.
I love it.
So I stole the idea from a pro player. I think he's a Japanese pro player, Tamaharu Saito.
Yeah.
And I built his green white Enchantress Pillow Fort deck, which is a lot of fucking fun. So this is essentially a deck where you just dirtle for a million turns until you can get down a card called Sphere of Safety, which prevents people from attacking you. But the main synergy of this is the Enchantress effect, which is, I think it's an older card called the Enchantress, which essentially, when a certain type of card, an enchantment card, comes down, you can draw a card, which they reprinted a card kind of like that called Eidolon of Blossoms in during the Nyx. And so it's kind of, it's centered, the two main players in this deck is the Eidolon of Blossoms and the Sphere of Safety. And the Eidolon of Blossoms is just kind of a, I don't use it as a body or anything like that, it's just a draw engine for just to get card advantage. And then I have a finisher of Elspeth and Primeval Bounty, which is, it's two kind of win conditions. So the whole point of this deck is pretty much get Eidolon of Blossoms out, play a bunch of enchantment creatures, get your Sphere of Safeties online so that your player can't do anything until he pays like 8 million mana, and then end up dropping an Elspeth or Primeval Bounty and win that way. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, this is the, I mean, I'm used to playing red green where it's just aggro and I'm just attacking and playing creatures every turn. So this one's kind of like you just want to stall the board as much as you can until you can get your Elspeth online, and then you just win off her or the Primeval Bounty. So it's definitely, it's, I guess you can kind of almost say it's kind of control-y, except I don't get rid of any of their creatures or care about really what they're doing as long as I have a Sphere of Safety out.
Well, you do throw Banishing Light, because that's
play,
an enchantment, so
yeah,
it helps you out both ways.
I do play Banishing Lights just because they are enchantments and they are a way to remove some things. But it's, this deck is really susceptible to control decks just because they have the way to get rid of my Sphere of Safeties and my enchantments. They have their spheres. They can sphere, detention sphere my sphere.
Or Banishing Light.
Which could just ruin my day, but
or dissolve.
Or dissolve, yeah. They can cancel a lot of my spells. But, I mean, it's a lot of fun against aggro decks and stuff like that. Because you can get, because I play the green suite of good creatures, like Corsair Crucifix, of course, because he's, like, the best green creature.
And it's an enchantment.
Arguably one of the best cards,
yeah,
like, in standard right now. Corsair Crucifix, and then I play Sylvian Caryatid as another good body to fight against aggro guys. I play four Elvish Mystics just for the ramp ability.
But yeah, I got to ramp into that spear safety.
The other cool card that I play spear is they don't really see play is the Karametra's God of Harvest, the god, which is a five mana. It's a three colorless, one green, one white. It's indestructible, and as long as you're, it's not a creature until you get devotion to green and white is seven or more. But the thing about this is whenever you cast a creature spell, you may search your library for a forest or plains card and put it on the library tapped, and then shuffle your library. So it's kind of, it adds additional ramp, because you just really want a lot of mana in this deck, because you're going to be playing a lot of enchantments and drawing a lot of cards, so you want to be able to keep comboing those enchantments to get even more cards until you get to your Elspeth or your Primeval Bounty.
That's good, too, because then you get to pull lands out of your deck, and then eventually you're just going to keep drawing in the spells rather than when you play your enchantments and you draw your card, you're not drawing a land, you're drawing a spell.
Exactly. And the cool thing about this god is it's a 6/7 body, which is pretty beefy.
Yeah.
And it's almost 99% of the time online. Mm-hmm. Just because so many enchantments that are in green-white color that even off the enchantments alone, I can almost get 7 mana to turn them on.
Yep. Eidolon of Blossoms is double green.
Like Corsair's double green. Corsair, Sylvan, and Elvish Mystic.
Yeah, so
plus that can turn it on.
It's a really good body. Like I read that people play the Heliod God just for the ability to create the tokens, which are enchantment tokens, which would proc off Eidolon. But I feel like this guy is easier to get online instead of having to worry about getting 5 white sources online. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, it's still an indestructible body, and it's a fun deck, dude. I mean, it's not a tier one deck in any stretch of the mean of the word, but it's fun to play in like a casual format setting.
It looks a lot of fun. It's kind of like what I like to do. I like to just like draw a bunch of cards and kind of like play Magic and kind of like
be a pain in the ass. Yeah, right.
This deck is just like,
don't hide it. As, yeah. I just like to play Magic.
I like to play Solitaire myself.
This is just like Dirtle till you die kind of deck. Well, this is really cool.
Yeah, the opponent draws a card. Okay, pass turn. Okay, cool. Let me set my deck up. Okay, he draws his card. Throws in his enchantment. Draws another card. Okay, let's go ahead and throw an enchantment on this land. Okay, that drew me another card. Okay, let me go ahead and let me throw down a Vanishing Blade on this. Okay, that was another card. And now you can't attack for... You have to pay 12 to attack each turn or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, pass turn. Draw a card. Okay, back, okay, pass back.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Well, it's cool because you can combo, because I played the enchantment Fauna Fertility, which is a one green mana enchantment, and it also has the added ability, so if you don't have an Eidolon already out, it'll you pay 2 mana, and you can sacrifice this enchantment to gain another land from your deck, which is good ramp. And then I also play Nylea's Presence, which is a 2 mana enchantment, which you enchant a land that becomes every type of basic land in addition to the type it is, but it also draws a card when you play it. So it's pretty much 2 mana, play an enchantment, draw a card, and then if you have an Eidolon of Blossoms out, you get an additional card. So you're getting card. 2 cards for 2 mana and the ability to, you know, play whatever mana you want.
Enchanting the land and tapping for other
I don't use that ability, but I mean, it's pretty much like 2 cards for 2 mana, which is crazy good.
But crazy good.
Crazy good, yeah. It's fun.
Hey, it's a 1 mana cheaper divination.
Yeah, I probably never play this at Friday Night Magic just for the fear of getting stabbed afterwards.
At FNN last night, somebody was playing the Maze's End deck.
Oh, really?
And everybody was like cheering for him. It's like, did you beat him? It's like, no, I lost. Like, you suck.
I just feel like this deck takes so long to even do anything. Like, if I stall out the board with Sphere of Safeties, like, I know that they're not going to win unless they can get rid of my Sphere of Safeties, but it just takes so long to get my win conditions online and big enough to be actually... kill them, that I think it's just going to draw every round, and then people are just going to hate me.
Dude, wasn't there a card that, like, exile all enchantments or exile...
Merciless Eviction.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a...
Orzhov? Really?
Yeah. I saw that card on a recent video on TCG Player, and that they didn't know it was coming. You know, the guy that was playing Frank, he didn't know it was coming, and they had... He had this same deck, this Enchantress deck, whatever. The board is flooded with everything. He's looking, he's going to win. He's like kicking ass, and that fucking card comes down.
Oh,
and he's reading it, and he's like, but what?
He's like, what? That's a thing?
What's it called?
Merciless Eviction.
Merciless Eviction.
That was funny as hell, man.
That's what I used to play in my original version of my Esper control deck. I used to play 1 Merciless Eviction.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that card existed. That's a blowout.
I think it's either choose 1 or choose 2.
So choose 1, destroy all enchantments, destroy all creatures, or destroy all planeswalkers.
Exile. Yeah, it's 4 white and a black, and it's a sorcery from Gatecrash.
That's a blowout.
So I've been like trying every time somebody brings up, like, an enchantment deck, I'm just like, what the fuck was that card called? Like, I haven't... I thought it was, like, red-black for some reason, but it's white-black.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking... It's a good sideboard card against your deck. That would just destroy everything.
I might take this the next time we go to Friday Night Magic.
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Magic.
You ready for some football?
So, you got a new card, deck, Juice?
Yeah.
A quickness?
I put together Jeff Hoogland, he's a professional player. I put together his junk mid-range deck.
Junk.
Yeah, so it's definitely just a bunch of junk, you know. Nobody's interested in it, so I don't even know why I'm playing it.
This junk costs so much money.
I know, I didn't know junk was so expensive.
Yeah, so, you know, it just plays like, it's pretty much black, green, white, and it plays all the best cards in those colors. So, you know, we have, like, Blood Baron, we have Obsidat, which already by themselves can win you the game. And, of course, we'll play Elspeth as a one-of, just because all our threats can pretty much win us the game by their own. And then we play the 2 Ajani Mentor of Heroes, which I've actually got to Ultimate last night.
Oh, wow, you got to do it?
Yes, I went up to 137 life.
Oh, my goodness.
And had a 16-16 cloning Hydra, and I was like, you go ahead and keep attacking, buddy. I don't even care. So
that's so funny.
Still, it's like 8-turn clock.
Yeah, I know. That's still
pretty... I know. But,
oh, no, it'll grow. Never mind. It'll grow on attacks.
Yeah, so that's still a quick clock, but that's still cool that you can get... I mean, 100 life is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, and there's only about one time he whiffed on his... when you go search, you look at the top 4 of your library, you pull out an aura creature or a planeswalker, and I hit like, what was it? I hit a putrefy, a downfall, two banishing lights. And I was like, fuck, those are all the cards I need to win the game. And I didn't even get to draw them, so that kind of sucked. But, you know, I play Advent of the Worm, which is really good, especially against control decks. They use Supreme Verdict. All right, whatever, I'll flash in my Advent at the end of the turn, and then I swing in for 5 trample. Right. And it's really good with the Johnny, because if I have a Johnny out, flashing the Worm, I have an 8-8 trample.
Can a Johnny find the Worm? Does he find sorceries, only planeswalkers and creatures?
An aura, creature, or planeswalker.
Okay.
Advent of the Worm is a 4-mana instant spell. Yeah.
So, Party Trick City, too. I mean, besides flashing it in on your opponent's end step, you can also, they come in attacking in or whatever.
They attack you, put it in, you go, okay, now I'm going to block
the Worm. Nobody expects the Worm.
Exactly. And then it just plays, you know, your mana ramp. You have the Sylvan Caryatids and Coursers, obviously. And then it plays, like, some kind of synergistic combos with, like, Archangel, Scavenging Ooze, Elspeth, and Courser, things like that. So you have a Courser out and an Archangel, play a land, triggers the Archangel, put 1/1 counters on all your guys. You know, it's really good with Elspeth, you make 3 tokens, put counters on them, you know, they become 2/2s there. And, you know, we have a lot of ways to draw cards. We have, like, Underworld Connections and the Ajani. And we don't have to really worry about our life total too much, because we have a lot of just incremental life gain throughout the deck with Courser, you know, the Archangel and stuff like that. So we can, you know, use Underworld Connections, and we can play lands, shock lands, untapped as much as we want without having to really worry about it. So, you know, I just like the synergies with Archangel and the rest of the deck, because, you know, it...
That's a lot of good stuff, man.
Yeah. I had, like, an 8-9 Archangel at one point, and he's like...
Yeah,
what do you do against that? Like, what?
And it's cool, too, because I have Scavenging Ooze and an Archangel out, and I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to eat with Scavenging Ooze, and then I put one counter and another counter on it because the Archangel, so...
Guys, it's Doomblade.
It does.
But yeah, that's so what's your converted cost of this whole deck? Like $100 is your average converted cost for all this good stuff?
Yeah.
Like every card's like $100 in this deck.
I was like, average converted? What? That costs way more than $100. Oh, every. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
It's a little slow.
I think the average converted mana cost came at like 3 or 4. So it plays like 25 lands. I only have 3 basics in the deck. Everything else
you
is
do
like
run in Brimaz?
No, Brimaz. No.
That seems like a good stuff card.
It
more,
would
more something to throw more money at.
But we have Courser, we have Hero's Downfall, and we have Banishing Light, and then there's Putrefy, all at the 3-drop slot. So and our creatures already are better than Brimaz. So don't really need to put them in the deck.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this junk deck against him.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm still learning it.
I like all that good stuff.
I don't know what a good opening hand looks like. I think that's like my main problem with the deck right now, because I think I can pilot it. It's just knowing kind of what a good opening hand looks like. Maybe like a Hero's Downfall, a Caryatid, like a Courser, and maybe like a 5-drop and some lands might be good. But I don't know. Who knows? You know, I don't know yet.
He's got to play it out as many times as
I played it for the first time last night. I played 4 rounds, and then I played 1 game earlier before we started the podcast. So I'm still learning, you know. But I like the deck a lot. It's something that I'm definitely not used to, because I actually play creatures this time.
Yeah. Creatures.
I play more than one creature this time, so it's a brand new world to me.
I know, you play a creature, it dies, you're like, fuck this, I'm going back to control.
Exactly.
Oh, man, that's awesome, though. I like that. I like this deck.
That's why I like control so much. I don't have to worry about removal spells.
So yeah. I heard there was another new deck among us.
Oh.
Somebody was getting fed by our secret fifth member.
Exactly.
Brew Daddy Johnson.
Mm-hmm. They're Jewish. They write all my jokes and they give me all my decks.
Really?
Very smart. Yeah, and do my taxes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty trifecta.
Brew Daddy Johonskis.
Yeah. All right. The deck I have is not my deck. It's by some guy off of Tapped Out. I was looking to see what I could do with Athreos, the new god, and like sack outlets and stuff like that. So I was browsing and I saw this deck list that I was like, that's fucking perfect. You know, it's ideas I wasn't thinking of. So it's a black, white, and green deck. And it plays 30 creatures, 7 enchantments, and 23 lands. And the land, so we'll start with the lands, and it's basically like everything. It's like 4 Godless Shrines and 2 Mana Confluences, 2 Overgrown Tombs, 4 Temple Gardens, 4 or 1 Temple of Malady, 1 Temple of Plenty, 4 Temple of Silence. It's just like
all the good lands.
It's all the good lands.
23 dual lands.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it has 3 plains and 2 swamps.
Oh yeah, so those are important.
Has that. Yeah, so basically it's just flooding, so everything has, you know, everything is a dual land basically. Which is nice because you're going to need it for all the creatures. Some of the creatures are like dual casting cost. So it's going to be tough as shit. Like I'd probably even throw like 4. Well, maybe not. They have to say 4 mana for confluences because 3, running 3 colors, you know, you might want it.
4 is a little much. I don't know if I'd want to draw too many because, like, the life total at that point, if you have to use 2 mana confluences every turn, can add up to a lot.
Right. Yeah. So, this deck, it's by a user N.A. Brown 2. Nah Brown? I don't know. Whatever. the deck that it's called, if you want to look it up, it's called How to Recycle Your Junk. So, it has, I'll go through the creature list and we can talk about it. It's got 3 Athreos, God of Passage, which is the god that when something dies, something of yours dies, then they can pay 3 life and it'll go in the graveyard, or if they don't pay the 3 life, it'll go back in your hand. Then we have 3 Banishing Light, three Banisher Priests as our removal and as a human, which is important. We have 3 Brymaz, King of Oreskos, which is...
King of Oreos.
Yeah, King of Oreos. It's important because it makes tokens, which are other things, just token producer that can sack. And there's going to be little tricks in here where you can like sack at instant speed and all that stuff. Which is the next one, actually. Cartel Aristocrat, sacrifice another creature you control, and you get the Aristocrat gets protection from, I think...
Chosen Color.
Chosen Color, till end of turn. So you can... All the tokens you're producing, you can go ahead and sack them with that at any time, and that will make them pay 3 life, or you have 3 Xanthrid Necromancers in here, which will produce the zombie tokens off of it, as long as they're humans. Which the Aristocrat is, Banisher Priests are, there's 4 Precinct Captains, which are humans, there's 3 Soldier Pantheons, which are humans, there is 3 Voice of Resurgence, because yes, that's
the combo.
That's probably what he was thinking. Is that's like Athreos, Xanthrid Necromancer, Voice Resurgence, and there's another one.
Just like Voice Cartel and Athreos.
Yeah,
that alone is just a huge combo.
Well, you have another sack outlet, which is like what is it? Varols, the Scar. Varols,
the Scar Strike.
Yeah, that one. So that one gives everything scavenge. So shit's gonna be dying all day long. Scavenge is where you can pay that card's converted mana cost and put that many 1/1 counters as it's of its power onto a creature on the board. So, and then also the second ability of sacrifice a creature you control, and I get to regenerate the creature or whatever. So basically, everything here is either a sack outlet, a human, or
token maker,
and then Athreos. So. And then so there's 4 Dictates of Erebos also, and 3 Banishing Lights. 3 Banishing Lights, it's obvious. 4 Dictates. The Dictate is whenever a creature...
Whenever a creature you control dies, the target opponent has to sack a creature.
Yes, exactly.
Something along those lines.
They play 4 of those, which is pretty ridiculous, because they're 5 mana each. Mm-hmm. But I can see why you'd need it, because you're going to be sacking stuff whenever you want to at instant speed, so that means you're going to be able to kill their creatures whenever you want to. And I thought of another good thing: when you're facing a Desecration Demon and you have a Dictate on the board, you're going to have to sacrifice one to the demon to stop it from attacking anyways. Now you can make it sacrifice the demon, you know, at the same time. Yeah. So, yeah, the deck seems pretty fantastic. I like this decks that have like a lot of synergy. Like the humans deck that Knife has, it's all of them are... Every creature is a human, and then except for... Well, is Xanthrid Necromancer a human?
He's not a human, but he still gains the effect. If he dies, then you get a zombie.
Okay, so
it's whether him or a human deck.
Right, so this gets that, and then adds on sack outlet, so you can get it like whenever you want to, and adds Athreos, basically. You know,
I like everything in that deck, but the... The The Scar Striped?
Oh, Scar Striped.
No, the
voices are really good.
Voices, that's pretty badass. But, I mean, I can see where the Scar Striped would work, just to be able to scavenge stuff that actually makes it
but
to the
graveyard.
But
it's also another sack outlet.
And it's another sack outlet.
That's the only thing. It's a 2-2 body for 3. It's not going to be doing anything besides using its abilities.
I think that he put that in there just for Cartel. Because the only problem Cartel Aristocrat has, you have protection from color. Sure, you swing in, but it's for 2 every single time.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to pump them up, especially since it's such a resilient threat. I think being able to scavenge onto the Cartel is really good. One other card that I think would actually be really good addition I just thought of to the deck is Eater of Hope. The one where you pay a black, you sacrifice, gives protection, or you sack 2 creatures, and you destroy target creature.
That's not bad. But you got to keep that scavenge card in there too then. Because you're going to be sacrificing tons of stuff. Yeah. You want to be able to do something with those cards.
But, I mean, you can
regenerate the Eater of Hope, right?
Yeah, by sacking one.
Right. But the other creatures that you're sacrificing to it, you want to, like, I think that the scavenge thing is good. In the same turn, you could sacrifice a creature on the board and then pay that converted mana cost and pump up Eater of Hope to attack, like, in the same turn.
Then again, like, he's already a pretty decent body by himself.
He is.
I think he's got, like, 4 or 5 power.
He's 6. I think 6-4.
6-4? Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, and it's very resilient, so... you
That'd
might not
good
necessarily
like a
need the Volros to get through, but it's like icing on the cake, pretty much. It's kind of like at that point, win more.
I'm disagreeing with you guys. I think it's a really big part of this deck. Like looking at all the stuff it can do. You could it's sacrifice outlet, but like you can do the same turn. Like you could a creature could die, and then they lose 3 life because of Athreos, and then you go ahead and scavenge that creature onto whatever and attack in. Like they're getting that's like. You're swinging for like 8 or whatever that turn, or it's. I think it's really, really powerful.
Do you think you're gonna make this deck in paper?
I have a lot of stuff, so
voice runs out.
The voice is so expensive,
and there's maybe no replacement for Voice of Resurgence. No.
But voice, you can sacrifice voice at any time, and then bring out this creature that's gonna be fucking huge because of all your tokens.
Is voice playable in like do people play it in Modern?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's a huge factor
is it?
In Modern.
Okay.
It's then like
it wouldn't be too bad to
if you're playing
in
green
it.
Or white, you are splashing the other color to play voice. Pretty much, that's how good he is.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad to.
Because there's only like one. Card that sees a lot of play in Modern that can deal with the voice effectively, and that's the Path to Exile. Yeah. It's the 1 mana exile target creature. They get to pull a land out and stuff like that. So they don't get the token, but it sees a lot of play in Birthing Pod. It's really good in that because you sack it to Birthing Pod, you bring out three converted mana cost creature, plus you get the token on top of it. So
yeah,
it's a bonkers card.
Yeah,
no, no 2 ways around it.
Invest in it now, but how fucking much is
it? Like $20 a piece now.
Really?
Yeah,
they were
40.
They're going down.
They were more expensive.
They're going down pretty fast. Like checking like the card price sites online or whatever that kind of track where the trends are going.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest losers or whatever.
Yeah, they've come down a lot.
Your best bet if you want to pick them up is probably like after. 2 or 3 months before like M15 and that stuff comes out because everybody's going to be looking to offload them.
Isn't it 3 months before M15 right now?
Just about. It's October is when M15.
Is it?
Yeah.
Thought it was sooner.
No. I think it's October is when it rotates. Or maybe soon.
It's end of September.
September 30th.
I thought it was November, and then another podcast, we looked it up, and it was Theros came out like September 27th last year.
Oh, okay.
Year
so it's September.
Like
so M15 will come out before. October, I think, is the next actual expansion set. Mm.
So you know what, though? About this deck, about maybe me getting it, I already own some of the expensive stuff, and the only card that's old that costs a lot of money are the Voice of Resurgences.
Yeah.
That and then the Shocklands, which I might just want to just do a bunch of Skylands, I don't know, instead.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I would, or I don't know, whatever. I know it's not going to be like taking a loss or buying some Shocklands.
Yeah.
If anything, they're going to go up.
Oh,
but if I got scared away from it because I kind of like sticking the standard for a while, I might just buy 4 of each of the temples, which I think I already have. I think I already have 4 of all of them.
You definitely want to play all the temples, for sure. Just
gonna
going
go
through,
up.
Like, if I had a playset of each Shocklands, like, I would have so many more decks because I could have just invested in, like, cards for the deck instead of just, like, oh, well, I have to buy the mana base.
Yeah.
Oh, now I have to buy the actual cards that, for the deck to play it that I just bought the mana base. Because the mana base is, like, can be $100 on its own.
Yeah, that seems like a cool deck, though. I want to see that.
I like it.
A lot of synergy.
Yeah.
A lot of synergy.
I
want to
see that sauce.
Ladies? July 18th
is when M15.
You were way off.
What are you talking about?
M15.
Comes out July 18th?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter because it doesn't rotate then.
No, I'm just saying that. That's when it comes out. You were saying it comes out.
Were you talking about rotation? I was talking about rotation. My bad. I misunderstood then. I was talking about Theros date, which would have nothing to do. I would have been talking about M14 date.
Yeah, rotation is like end of September or something. But M15's coming real fucking soon.
Yeah, it is.
It'll be crazy.
All right. Oh, well, we totally forgot. Speaking about new decks.
Oh, yeah.
We had... Actually, the fuck is your name? Hot Sauce?
God, Steven. Stop making these little nicknames. Just use
I know. Real fucking names. Steven.
Fucking parent. Oh! Dude.
Anyways.
Someone's going to steal my credit card information. Fuck.
Yeah, we made what decks? What kind of decks?
Ace Rockola. God damn it.
All of it. That's awesome.
So this guy over here,
the hot sauce,
the sauce boss,
Godfather,
the Godfather, the man of many names and no pants. He had an idea to build some standard popper decks, and so
what is popper?
Popper is where you only play with commons, and so obviously standard is only play with standard. Commons, standard playable commons.
Right, Ravnica and above.
Yeah, so everything that's in standard, but only commons.
Yeah, no uncommon, no rare, no mythics, just the plain black symbols.
No special or time shifted.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
So we actually built some standard popper decks. Why don't you take it away, Reich? What'd you build?
Yeah, so I went, shockingly enough, I went to red, green, white.
What?
Yeah, I built a red-green white Anaya deck.
I haven't really seen it yet.
So my main cards I play are going to be green-red and then a little bit of white. And the red-green cards, the main card in this deck is the Madcap Skills because that is a blowout card. And then I also play a few Hexproof guys as well as a Nespian Ass for Finisher and a Rebel Belt Makas, which are kind of like used for Blood Rush. I play some Deadly Recluses just for Death Touch, which is amazing. I play a few combat tricks like Titan Strength and Fall of the Hammer. But the main, I think the all-star in my deck is going to be Slaughterhorn. It's a common card. It's 3 mana, 2 colorless, 1 green, and it's a 3-2 body. But the main thing about this guy is his Blood Rush ability for 1 green. You discard this card, you pay the 1 green, and any attacking creature that you attack with gets +3/+2, which is crazy good combat trick.
Yeah, 1 mana?
Yeah.
For 1 mana. Same with Rebel Belt Maka. It's a 1 mana card for Blood Rush as well. It's just 1 red.
And it can be a creature.
And it can be a creature. So it's both a combat trick and a creature if you need it.
It's kind of like a Bestow.
Yeah, exactly. And then my removal in this deck is kind of like I use Lightning Strikes, Shocks, and then, like, Pacifism, and then I use also God's Willing just to get damage through, but I don't have too much removal. I'm kind of more on the creature-heavy side of this deck. I just want to get as many dudes out as possible and just keep attacking with Madcap skills and then combat tricks. I do run a few the two-headed Cerberuses, which are 2 red, 1 colorless, and they're a 1-2 double strike.
Oh, yeah.
And the double strike is just really just to pump them up with Madcap skills and Blood Rushes and stuff just to get crazy amounts of damage through, which is awesome.
Hey!
Oh! Blackass!
Oh, we have a guest here.
You guys are how's it going? You know what I liked before? And you were like, you guys are all lame.
Except for your listeners.
You guys are fags. Except for the listeners. You guys are awesome.
And then I play two Crow and Sky Guards just because I like heroic enablers. But that's pretty much my whole deck. Is just red, green, white beatdowns just like I like to play it.
I think that's going to be pretty damn good. It's a little, like, I have... basically, I have that deck split into two decks. I have two decks. I have a red, white aggro, and I have a blue, green... Basically, like green monsters with counter spells and stuff like that. So, it's not quite split in hairs, but I do play a lot of the same cards that are green in yours, in my green blue, including that Nessian Asp or whatever, and that Blood Rush guy. And everything on my. It's a Simic deck, so it has a lot of 1/1 counters on stuff, and counter spells, and little combat tricks, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm playing like Shamble Shark and. The Slaughterhorn and Cloudfin Raptor and all the counter spells, the Starfish that you can scry with. Anyways, all kinds of stuff like that. And then the red white is just your classic. Like, I need to play Ethereal Armor or whatever, and Madcap skills, and then everything else is just, like, one and two drops that are heroic. And that's it. That's basically it. There's nothing else to it. And it's fucking fast, though. You know, when you get Madcap skills and the armor on, like, yeah, and, well, on turn two, you bring out, like, two armors on one creature, and now it's pumped up to, like, a six or seven or whatever, and then you fucking Madcap skills it, and if they didn't remove it by, like, turn three or four, then you win the game. That's pretty much it. And if it goes into, like, turn six or seven, then you lose the game, so. But that's it. What you got?
Well, at first I started with a, like, American Spellslinger deck. Like, I tried to do, like, a lot of burn, a lot of counter, and then, like, Rise of the Eagles for my kind of, like, finisher, where you pay six, you bring out two flyers, two of them, and you get to scry one for it. That obviously did not go over very well, especially when you're facing down a hero with Madcap skills on it on turn two, swinging in for like five damage. It's like, I can't really do much at that point. So I changed the deck out, and now I'm playing a Bant deck. Called Bant. Yeah, it's white, blue, and green. And it's kind of a Bant enchantment deck. So, you know, I wanted to play Ethereal Armor in something because it's just, like, the best common you can get. So I'm playing things like Glade Clover Scout, 1-1 for 1 with Hexproof, and, like, Trident Shorestalker. It's another 1-1 for 1, but this one, it can't be blocked. And then, you know, I put some enchantments on them. Like Ethereal Armor, where it gets +1/+1 for each enchantment you control, and has first strike. Aqueous Swarm to help my
Glade Clovers. unblockable.
Yeah, exactly. To help out the Glade Clovers or anything else, because I have Bestow creatures in here as well, so I can put one of those on there. Pacifism for kind of like removal. I have Feral Invocation, kind of like a combat trick that's an enchantment as well.
Flash 2/2? No, what is it? Which one is it?
Feral Invocation is 2 and a green for an enchantment with Flash, and the creature gets +2/+2. And I think that's it for, like, the... I have another enchantment, which is Chosen by Heliod, which is another one that draws me cards. And then I have other creatures, the Bestow creatures, like Nyxborn Wolf. So it's 3/1 for 3 mana, or I pay 5, and the creature gets 3/+3/+1. And then Hopeful Eidolon, it's 4 mana Bestow, +1/+1, and Lifelink. Or it could be a 1/1 if I want to come out. And
but you would hope to bestow all this stuff onto either your Unblockable or your Hexproof.
I'm looking to bestow these, but they're just added benefit that I can play them as creatures as well if I need it.
I like it.
I have a couple of Nimbus Naiads. Because it's a Bestow creature, enchantment, and
Nimbus Naiad's really good, though.
You know, brings it up in the air. I can gain flying.
Right.
And then there's one more. I have Nyxborn Triton for my other Bestow creature. It's a 2/3 for 3. And enchant creature gets +2/+3 for 5 mana.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Sounds good.
And then I have one other card, Voyage's End.
Oh, Voyage's End.
Just to help break up the enchantments or heroes, because I know there's going to be a lot of, like, Ethereal Armor, Madcap skills, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, things get Blood Rush.
Getting enchantments to drop off.
Yeah, and then I can bounce it back to their hand. Blood Rush doesn't matter anymore. The enchantments don't matter anymore. So, and plus, I get to scry. It helps me scry into more action. So, that's kind of my deck. I don't have really anything else other than it. It's very creature heavy. I only have the one spell, which is Voyage's End. Everything else helps pump up my creatures.
I like it.
Nice.
Big fat shocker for me, I built a mill deck. A while back, I realized that, like, a lot of my cards in my actual standard mill deck were, like, commons and stuff. And so when I was looking at, what to build for Pauper, I, had to double check to make sure... a lot of the mill cards were common, and I was able to build a fucking mill deck. So, I went to build an earlier iteration of my current mill deck. About a year ago or something, it was a Cypher deck I had. for just standard. So I kind of went back to that, but just with Popper. So pretty much I want all my guys to be unblockable or some sort of evasion so I can get that cipher through. So I have four Triton Shorestalkers. It's the ones that just came out.
Journey.
Yeah, Quick explain it in his.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a 1/1 that can't be blocked. It's kind of like my boy Invisible Stalker, except it doesn't have hexproof and it's one cheaper.
Yeah.
He was my boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so broken now.
Yeah. I know, God. I love that guy. Anyways, and I also have Death Cult Rogue. It's a 2/2 for 3, and it can't be blocked except by other rogues. And I don't know if there are fucking other rogues. Exactly. There's like 3 other rogues or something. So, and then I have Balustrade Spies. It's a 2/3 for 4. It's a flyer. Whenever he enters the battlefield, you mill until you hit a card, or target opponent mills until they hit a card or whatever.
A land.
A card. A land.
First one.
Hit a card.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Man, damn.
That's
it.
That's some crazy milling action.
Actually, it says target player, not target opponent, which is interesting, but...
You can mill yourself.
Yeah, I can mill myself. But I learned early on playing this guy that he usually mills between, like, 1 and 3 cards. On average, there are times where it's like 10 cards later, they're like, where's all my fucking lands? Mm-hmm. But he's just nice for evasion. I'm also playing 2 Farika's Chosens. It's the 1/1 for 1 Death Touch.
Sedge Scorpion.
Yeah, it's a Sedge Scorpion black. Or Typhoid Rats.
Pain in the dick's what it is.
Yeah, just for some defense and removal. I also have Death's Approach, which is an enchantment aura for 1 black. Or not 1 black, but just a black. Enchanted creature gets -X/-X, where X is the number of creature cards in its controller's graveyard. So, regardless of whether I have enough creatures in their graveyard to kill them, I can just put it on their creature, and it, you know, nerfs it. Brings it down to size until I have enough creatures in their graveyard.
Eventually,
so
kill it.
Yeah, eventually that fucker's going down. I have 2 Asphyxiates, which is the, you know, 1 black destroy target tapped creature.
Which Popper decks are fucking attacking, so it's good card.
Yeah, but it's untapped creature, so I only put 2 in here.
Oh, it's untapped.
Untapped.
Oh,
just because
maybe not.
If I don't have, you know, if there's haste or some sort of something where I don't get it, you know, because basically you play a creature and then it's my turn, so this is a sorcery, so I just kill the creature. Yeah. But if you have a chance to attack, it's
or
not going to be
able tap it.
Yeah, or right. They tap it somehow.
Hopefully have the little Death Touch guy out because then they won't attack into it for maybe a turn or something.
Exactly, exactly. And my good old friend Devour Flesh is a common. So I'm running some of those. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of... So Death's Approach, Asphyxiate, Devour Flesh, Farika's Chosen. That's some good kill action right there. I'm also running some Psychic Strikes, which is 1 blue-black counter-target spell. Its controller mills 2. And, oh, I love this card. Grizzly Spectacle. Destroy target non-artifact creature. Its controller puts a number of cards equal to that creature's power. So basically, I kill a creature, you mill that creature's power from your deck. Which was awesome when I was playing Hot Sauce. You know, he was bestowing up his guy. He was getting all huge, and
fucking
I was 11, like...
11-11.
Yeah,
and I was can't like... Can't attack through the fucking 1-1 Death Touch, and then he just hits me with that.
That was
11 or whatever.
That's so funny.
Sucks.
And then also, the card that everyone hates, and I love it, Crypt Incursion.
The worst card ever.
The best card for my mill deck ever. That's
especially aggro. Aggro is fighting for 20 life.
Yeah.
You know, aggro is not built for 40 life. Aggro is meant to do the job in a certain amount of time. If you Crypt Incursion and you go up to 45 life, he'll describe what it means, but if you go up there, then aggro's like, well, that's me, you know?
I'm tapped out.
It's instant for 2 and black, exile all creature cards from target player's graveyard. You gain 3 life for each card exiled this way. And I think I Crypt Incursioned you for... I was up to like 60 life.
Yeah, 18 creatures, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty silly. I run 2 Tome Scours. It's just for a blue, you mill 5 cards just to get the mill engine going so I can get my Death's Approach going. And then 4 Pilfer Plans. It's divination, but you mill, the opponent mills 2 cards. It's for 1 blue and a black.
So I wanted to mention Crypt Incursion is not going to be powerful in a lot of decks because you have to have creatures in the graveyard.
Right.
But when you're playing a mill deck, it's perfect because it doesn't matter if the creatures are dying off the battlefield. All that matters is that you're flipping over cards from your library into your graveyard, and then you can use that card. So it's super powerful for this, but I'm not going to say it's an all-star card for anything else, really.
No, this is a very narrow card. I remember watching some video where these guys were going through all the cards in Gatecrash and kind of like, you know, analyzing them and talking about them. And they came to Crypt Incursion and they're like, this is for like new players. Like, new players love to gain life. You know, there's going to be like 2 or 3 creatures in the graveyard. They're going to gain, you know, 6, 9 life or whatever. And they're going to be happy. And, but otherwise, this card is garbage. I'm like, you know, can they not talk about the one instance where this card is fucking ridiculous?
Exactly.
Where it's a crap card except in a mill strategy. You know, obviously if I'm playing a control deck that runs, like, no creatures, I gotta sideboard that shit out, it's a dead card. But this is a, you know, I've even just, I run it in my regular standard mill deck.
Mm-hmm.
And online, you know, I'll Crypt Incursion somebody for 30 and they're like, concede. Like, it's just, exactly. It wrecks people.
It's not good in a lot of instances. Just like Scavenging Ooze is not a perfect card for, you know, when you read it, when it first came out, everyone's like, oh, that's a 2 of easy in anything that plays green, like, guaranteed. And then we see it, like, fade out for a lot of decks. I mean, there's some decks that it really hits hard on, but same thing, you just got to build it appropriately, you know what I mean? It's not just an all-star, like, Caryatid or something like that where it can fucking be in any deck. You know what I mean? So right, any green deck.
But it is devastating when it hits.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Right? It's great. And you know what? I really like playing Pauper. And I like that none of us like went online to like look for decks. Like deck ideas. Like mm-hmm. We just kind of like looked at the commons.
I literally opened my junk box of all my shitty cards and stuff. And I was like, oh, I just put like sorted out colors I want to play. And I'm like, oh, this going in, this going
exactly
in, this
right.
going in.
I just pulled all my commons out and I just went through it and I just pulled out whatever I could. And that was
I didn't go online and thought like, oh, I'm going to buy these commons because they're so broken or something like that.
Even if we did, it's still going to cost us a fucking dollar.
Yeah,
we're sticking to standard and we're not going back to older formats where the commons are actually pretty goddamn good and might be pretty expensive. Anyone that out there that wants to build a Pauper deck with their buddies, you know, and just play casually, you're gonna spend, if you know, if you order the whole deck online today, brand new, you're spending like $1.50 plus shipping.
Yeah,
you know,
for shipping will probably cost more than a lot of
exactly.
cards.
So it's great for if you don't want to spend the $500 to go to a top tier thing. Now you're all on an even playing field for $2.
Well, I just liked it because with a lot of Magic, like, you know, myself included in this, is like you go online and you're like, you may not net deck your entire deck, but you go and use other people's ideas, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know,
when there is.
Yeah, it's humbling to be like, okay, well, you know, somebody probably is smarter about this than I am. Let me go, you know, see what they have to say about it. And so, you know, you might start with a shell of a brew, and then you see what other people are doing, and you kind of incorporate that. But this was like a battle of the minds. Like, we just looked at the commons we had, we built a deck, and then that was it. You know, and I that was like really, really fun for me, and it was just cool to see what you guys built.
Which I think when we're done with this, we should play a couple games of Pauper.
Yeah,
I'm down. So let's move into our newest segment of Noob's Knowledge.
So new that it's not so new anymore.
Oh, it is not new. Our newest installment of Noob's Knowledge.
There we go.
Noob's Knowledge! So this week we're going to be talking about something that plagues new players. Something that just racks your brain. Something that can solve fights. Something that will save friendships. Something that can help us all. And that is, what the fuck do you do when you have a rules disagreement? we ran into this so many times when we first started playing in Kitchen Table Magic. Oh, well, this interaction works like this. No, it doesn't. It works like this. No, no, no. Hey, Hot Sauce, come here. Read this card and tell me what you think it does.
And we did it a lot. It's funny that you say that. I didn't even think about that, but that would happen all the time where we just go look at the other player, the bystander, and be like, okay, you read this and you tell me what you think. And whoever, then 2-to-1 decision on how this works.
It was such like blind leading the blind. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure this happens all the time for new players. Hey, you know, you're playing and there's certain aspects and interactions in the cards that aren't completely spelled out, you know, or you might not understand how the stack works and you misplay something, and it's just, you know, timing is very important in this game. So what do you do when something like that comes up, when you and your opponent, hopefully your friends,
flip the table?
Flip that motherfucking angry table.
These rules suck.
Stab him and walk out. No. what do you do in that situation when there's a disagreement?
Well, we were lucky enough because we started playing Magic. We actually went to a really good game store. Were really helpful. The guy that owns it,
Crazy Fred,
an awesome dude. He was really helpful, and he gave us his business card with the number of his game store on it. And he actually told us, you know, if you guys have any questions at all on how to play the game, any rule, like anything at all, to actually give him a call at the shop. And he would help, you know, resolve the issue or, you know, answer any of the questions. And we were lucky enough to be able to have him as a resource. So if we had any kind of ruling issues, that like maybe the next day we would call and be like, hey, I ran into this problem where such and such rule, and like we were trying to play this. Like, how does that work? And he would go ahead and explain it to us.
And we used to play there almost every Sunday morning when he opened the shop. And he would just let us play there. You know, he didn't require us to buy anything. We could just go hang out at the shop and play. And as we were learning, we could just walk over to the counter and be like, hey, how does this work? You know, oh, those aren't counters on Consuming Aberration? Oh, they're just, you know, +1/+1? Okay, you know, like, exactly. Just little stuff like that where he could be, you know, give us the ruling and... So, and that was like super easy.
Yeah, especially when you're first learning the game, like you don't know a lot of the rules, you don't know how it works, you don't know what the stack is. So I think one of the best resources when you're first learning is definitely going to your local game store, sitting down, playing Magic with your friends or like some strangers, you know, people that are willing to help, because everyone really out there is willing to help a new player. Most people. I mean, I haven't run into really anyone that hasn't like, oh no, you're new, I don't want to play with you or anything like that. Like back then, but like just having the resource of the game store owner or the staff that work there that are knowledgeable about the game to help you and help you understand and show you how it works, that's one of the best resources for a new player, I believe.
Agreed. Be there in person so you can ask at all times is a good one, and then next step would be like get their numbers, get someone you can call.
Yeah,
probably the LGS owner.
Yeah, if they're nice enough to let you call the store, you know, if they're willing to be able to answer your questions, and that's really one of the, I feel like the best way to learn, because not only do you get like an explanation, but you also get, you know, an answer to your situation, because you can read, you know, a ruling or something like that, and it won't really explain, you know, the exact situation that you've come up in, whereas a actual person can kind of, you know, parse that information, understand what you're asking, and then actually give you a correct answer.
And then give you the wrong answer?
Or give you the wrong answer, and then you'll know that for the rest of the time.
But it's going to be the one that helps you win that game.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, they may not know it, and they just, you know, pull something out of their butt, and then you just play like that for the rest of your Magic career and not even know. And then when you actually go to, like, a pro tour or something, or, like, a qualifier, you try to play like that, and they're like, get the hell out of here. You're not welcome here.
How are you making this far?
Pack up your bags and leave.
But that's my suggestion. Local game stores and
or even like make resources. A friend with a judge, or just make friends. Like part of that community building kind of experience that we don't do all that much.
We're lucky enough we have, you know, us to play with.
Yeah,
if we can't make it out to a game store or anything like that, we're lucky enough to have enough people to play.
Okay, so somebody lives in Alaska.
It's cold.
Eskimo. And they have to buy jackets. And probably some mittens.
Some mittens. How do you play Magic through mittens, though?
The shuffling is very difficult.
Oh, man.
And it takes a long time. And you can see your breath. So anyways...
just talking about all the people that live in Alaska.
Yeah.
And the sun, it always shines.
In Alaska right now, it's like really nice.
You eat a lot of fish.
Wolves come after you at night and they kill you.
They kill your babies. So, okay, so the scenario is, it's just you and your friend playing Magic. There's no local game store. There's not even a level one judge within 1,000 miles of your current location.
Stranded on an island.
Stranded on an island, but you do have a smartphone, and your smartphone has an internet connection, or more specifically, a computer, because my smartphone didn't pick it up when I tried to go there. But you have a computer, internet connection. What do you do when you don't have, you know, somebody else? It's just you, your friend, and the internet. What do you do then?
I Google it.
Okay, well...
the audience can't answer.
No, the fucking show notes are right here.
I know. It's just great how you set it up. I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Knight?
Okay, I was setting one of you guys up.
I was waiting for someone to jump in. I was like, all right.
Finish each other's...
sandwiches. Okay. So that's horrible. I'm gonna edit that. That's the worst joke ever. So there's this website called Ask a Judge. Askajudge.com.net. Fuck if I know. Google it. But Ask a Judge, it's a chat room where there's always Magic judges on there willing to walk you through a situation.
Like real deal judges, right?
Yeah. They're probably like some, you know. Anyways, it's a great website, and I'm not going to say anything bad about them. Except there was this dick one time. No, anyways. So Ask a Judge, and you type in, it's kind of a pain in the ass to like type in your whole situation.
Yeah.
Well, I played a forest, and then I tapped, and then he did this, and he did that. You know, you type it out for about 5 minutes, and then you ask them a question. And they generally respond pretty quickly, you know, 30 seconds, a minute, something like that. And then, so, but I'm assuming they're all qualified judges.
Or knowledgeable.
If nothing else, they're more knowledgeable than you. But there's always, it's like an old school, like, Yahoo chat, you know? And then all the moderators are judges or people who are capable of answering your question. And they give you a ruling on what it is. And that's like a really quick way. You know, we'd be playing over at Peppermint Swirl's house, and it would be nighttime, and our local game store wasn't open at that time, and Crazy Fred didn't give us his home number, so we couldn't page him or whatever, and so we would have to go to that website, type it all out, and then they would give us a ruling, and then regardless of whether, you know, they didn't really explain so much, they couldn't sit there and be like, okay, well, because this and this and this and this and that and this, you know, they kind of just give you a ruling, yes or no, and they might give you a little explanation, but that's definitely an easy way to, you know, it's not going to take you that long to just put the game on pause for a second and be like, hold on, let's type this out. And then, what are you smiling at? You're smiling a little creepy. Fucking Ronald McDonald over there.
I just want a little boy to talk. Okay.
So that's a real easy way to get a quick ruling without having to, like, argue or flip over the table or talk to another human being. You know, you can just type it out and you get a ruling. So here, I don't know why I've been smirking at me all creepy.
I don't know. Just
go on.
Yeah.
Right, continue.
Like, it's like Bugs Bunny, you know? Like,
you like me turning a knife right now?
Yeah. It's like a Bugs Bunny where, like, one person's really hungry, the other person's like, why are you staring at me like that? And like, yeah, you know, like, turn into like a pork chop or something. Like, what? What are you looking at? What's the matter? So, okay, here's another situation. You have a smartphone, but it's not that smart. You don't have a computer, but you have a smartphone. My old smartphone would not load Ask a Judge. It would not load up the fucking chat room. So what the fuck are you supposed to do then? So, where's my phone? So we would just Google the fucking answer or whatever, but there's a site on Wizards.
Actual somewhere. Magic the Gathering site.
Actual
Magic. Wizards of the Coast. I think it's WOTC.
I'm sure they have like five.
It might be Wizards.com.
Bring it to the same page.
Okay, so this is all sorts of fucking. wizards.com/magic/tcg/article.aspx?x=magic/rules That's real easy to remember, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
type in magic rules in Google.
And I'm pretty sure all I did was into Google, I typed in Magic the Gathering rules, and
it'll come up.
So on the actual Wizards website, there's a page. It says Magic the Gathering rules. It gives you a link to the basic rule book for casual play in most ordinary situations. You'll find what you need in the Magic the Gathering basic rule book, which I'm sure is something close to like the inserts they give you.
Yeah, it's not like super comprehensive.
Yeah, it's a very,
it'll help you kind of get there, but it might not have specific kind of answers to specific rulings. So there is something else you can look at on that website.
So you could also go to The Gatherer on the Wizards website, which it basically just looks up cards. But it says, Gatherer is Wizards of the Coast searchable database of Magic the Gathering cards. It includes the authoritative Oracle wording for each card. So basically it will kind of give you some, like, spell out what the card does, you know, in the kind of textbook sort of way.
It will also provide examples of rulings to interactions with other cards that aren't commonly known.
Right.
And how, like, certain more intricate interactions with cards work. So that's another good thing. You know, you have a question about something, you kind of know the game, you're like, I want to know how this works. Well, you can go look up the card, and most likely you'll have the interaction with the other card you're looking for, and tell you the specific ruling of what happens. So that's really good, I think.
Okay, so for all you paralegals out there,
yeah,
there is one more link on this page.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's the comprehensive rules. It is a PDF file. And I can only assume it's written in the language of lawyers.
It is real. I've gone through like a little of it, like when we had to look up certain things, and it is definitely, when they say comprehensive, they mean comprehensive. It has
every rule, right?
Literally every rule and every kind of iteration that you could probably think of, the interactions of that rule and how it works. It's pretty much the Bible of rule books. I think this is like what the judges study and like know by heart.
It says it's the ultimate authority for the Magic game, but you won't usually need to refer to them except in specific cases or during competitive games. They are not meant to be read from start to finish.
This is like the rule reference when you need to know like the exact words and how the exact interactions work with that rule. Like, it is literally comprehensive. It's
like in a city hall meeting when they're like, I would like to refer to the referendum of the second page, exactly. Article 2, paragraph 9, the third sentence, point A, B, 6 of, where it says the, we want to be changed to is. Exactly. You know, like, it's very to the fucking letter, and you might have some difficulty understanding what the fuck it's trying to say.
Yeah, it's definitely I can't say it's not for beginners. Like, they have it where it's kind of, you can understand it, but you just really have to dig for what you're looking for.
You have to have a general grasp of
the basics. Gotta know what, like, say, like,
you gotta
understand,
is
like lifelink and lifelink, like something like that. Like, oh, well, I want to see the ruling on lifelink versus like protection or something. Like, it'll spell it out for you, but it's definitely a chore to get to it, as opposed to like just asking a judge, like, oh, hey, can lifelink affect people that have protection or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a straightforward yes or no answer. This one's more like if you're like playing in a tournament setting and you need to know the exact like wording that Wizards is set out on this rule. Like, you need to know that exact interaction.
So if you have, like, I wouldn't suggest this for if you're in the middle of a game with a friend and you have a question and you want to just find a quick ruling. I would not suggest this. Because I went to go look at it myself, and it is just, it's like, it's chloroform coming through your screen. Like, you start reading it and you're just like, I want to take a nap. Ugh. You know, it's like fucking boring, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely made, like what they say, it's for a tournament setting. Like, when there's, like, you know, money on the line or, like, some kind of prize on the line and you need to know exactly how the rule is, then that's what you would refer to.
But if you are the type of person who really wants to understand every fucking rule to the letter, and every interaction, and you don't want it, you know, even if you're playing kitchen table Magic, but you don't want your friend to get the advantage, you know, you want to know the specific rules because you don't want to hear him fucking brag for 5 weeks how fucking, you know, whatever, whatever. So this is what you'd go for the rules spelled out to the letter.
I think you guys should just print it out and then put it in front of the toilet.
Yeah, just put it in like a three-ring binder,
yeah,
hardcover,
or just use
make
it
a tape
as
of it and play it while you're sleeping,
or yeah, just use fucking use it as wallpaper. You know, like you're just like one of those maniacs who are like writing stuff all over the walls, and like a circle pointing to here, and then
like, like a string, like tearing from one to another one.
Exactly, exactly.
I get some cross-country murder investigation.
He was so is tapping going to lifelink, so is going to heroic or whatever, and all this stuff.
Oh. So I mean, those are all the. I mean, this was a big thing for us when we first started playing. To like
even now, even to this day, we could still, you know, refer to Ask a Judge or something like that. If we don't know the rule, the specific ruling,
we
look it up.
The website, I think, is what I use the most. I think I would say we use the most.
Oh yeah, I think definitely
it's
the
quick,
easiest.
It's convenient. It gets rid of the it's using a human interaction gets rid of the bullshit. Instead of looking for keywords and making sure you're looking it up correctly,
or even understanding,
you can skip all that
correctly.
Shit. Just explain it to a human being. He'll process it his way, and then they'll fucking spit out an answer. It's way faster.
So that's definitely the easiest. I mean, we wanted to give you all sorts of scenarios to where you can find a ruling no matter what situation you're in, but Ask a Judge is by far the easiest, quickest, and you know, you don't have to fucking know anybody to fucking get it done. You can just don't have to rely on your own smarts. You don't have to rely on, you know, calling somebody and awkwardly saying, you know, can I tap fucking Elvish Mystic when I'm blocking, you know? Like, yeah, you can, you idiot. Like, okay, thanks, bye, and then hang up all awkwardly. That's the easiest way, is Ask a Judge.
All you have to know is read and type.
Yep, can you read? Check. Can you type? Check. Do you have eyeballs? Check. Okay, good. You're good to go. You can make a rule.
I'm sure if you can read, you're going to have eyeballs.
There's Braille, okay? I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want to leave... I wonder if they have Braille magic cards.
I don't know. Maybe that's a market we should... We suggest the WotC, right?
Yeah.
We already copyrighted it, by the way, so...
I'm going to stab my eyeballs out, and then I'm going
to
sue them.
Check it out.
I can't play Magic
because there's no Braille
Magic
cards. Oh, man. But yeah, we're just trying to give you guys tools for your Magic toolbox. All
right, we should go ahead and become judges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Highest level judge.
Yeah,
and then we're going... We should do that, and then we should all go to our local community college and teach classes. Make a little money on the side. You know?
Nice.
People play Magic. We have, like, recess.
Curriculum.
Like that.
Magic 101.
Recess.
You know?
like
Magic 101.
Yeah, Magic 101.
Have, like, a judges program or something like that.
We could give out, like, the bags of milk that you have to stab the straw into for lunch.
Exactly.
And then you get a little milk on you, and you stink for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It is like that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's why I don't drink milk.
Yeah. That's why I don't play.
Who drinks milk?
That's why I don't play tetherball down at the local middle school anymore.
Yeah,
amongst other reasons.
The restraining order and all.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. Fucking Ronald.
Didn't help. I was wearing a Ronald McDonald mask at the time. I thought they'd enjoy it.
Or any mask at the time. To be honest,
sir, you can't be here, let alone wearing a mask. Anyway.
All right, continuing on.
Man. There's a bear that would love to join this podcast. Pedo bear. Anyways. is that going to do it? Do we have time?
I think that'll probably wrap it up for today.
Wrap it up.
We definitely hit on some good points, some high notes, some low notes, some
definitely low
notes.
Yeah. Stick around next week. I'm going to be introducing a new segment called How Not to Be a Dick.
At your local game store.
No, just in general.
Yeah, okay. This is life lessons.
This is life lessons.
I like this.
Mostly trying to revolve around Magic, but it's just a general, kind of like what grinds my gears.
Okay.
You know, like just how not to be a fucking dick. So stick around for that.
So I wanted to say that as far as what we're doing lately, we're recording this on a Saturday, and it should be up. I'm hoping you guys hear this. Maybe it's Tuesday when you hear this? I don't know.
Yeah, we're trying to get them out on Tuesday.
Okay.
You know, we're not professionals, but Tuesday is what we aim for.
But another thing we're starting, you can go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, and then you can view our versus videos and our unboxing of Journey into Nyx and whatnot. We're going to start doing versus recordings every Monday from here on out, unless Act of God stops us from meeting up. So you can expect that later of each week, Thursday, Friday, something like that, there will be versus videos up every week as long as the great gods of magic will let us.
And we have decks to actually play.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have new decks that we've built this week.
We can do Popper.
We have Commander, Jace versus Verasca. We have a lot of options. Let us know what options you would want to see. And otherwise, we'll just put out whatever content we want to do.
Yeah.
But I would expect to see that on a weekly basis. The website now has a little description of us. What we like to do in Magic, what we're all about, what we do for If Lands Could Kill. So check that out. That's on our website, iflandscouldkill.com.
I wrote that in like 5 minutes.
Good.
That's all it's supposed to be.
I wrote like a full novel. Yeah. Proper punctuation and many paragraphs.
Yeah. As always, yeah, check us out. I was like Twitter, Facebook, everything, website.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook.
On the media.
So I don't know if we have it, but we should have our own, like, you know, Twitter links and everything under our bios, just because it's a pain to, like, put 20 fucking links in the show notes. Like, who wants to fucking read through all that? So in the bios, they'll have our own personal Twitch links and our Twitter links and our Moto names. And or
each of us do a different thing for If Lands Could Kill. So if you have a specific question, generally ask us generally, that's fine, but you could ask us individually and probably get a better answer for what you're looking for. Like Quickness does the website, you know, and things like that, and I do the video camera, on camera video, and each of us does our own video capture through the computer. But yeah,
so thanks for tuning in once again. This is episode 8.
Episode 8.
Fuck. Damn. Big 8.
With a sweet title.
I know. With a sweet title.
Mm.
Which I need to think of. So, put me on the spot. So thanks for tuning in. This has been episode 8 of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
This is Reich.
Hot sauce.
And, you know, stay golden, Pony Boy. That's horrible.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. It's like a reference from some like 80s movie. Should we like rewind and do it again?
No, it's good. No.
Yeah, it's going.
I like it.
It's
perfect.
No.
You don't like
easy.
It?
Easy.
No, just make it perfect. An awkward ending.
Yeah. Just leave all this.
Easy breezy beautiful magic
cover
player.
Girl. Cover girl.
No, that's copyrighted.
No, okay. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
Yep.
That's better. That's better.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, I liked it last time when you did the Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Line it up. Classic Knife City. That was hilarious.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by IntelliColor or Color Vision.
Jelly Vision.
Yeah. Awesome.
No, but seriously,
we'll
see you guys later.
Yeah. No, don't do that. The whole thing?
The whole thing!
No,
they're hearing it all.
Just a tap.
This is what happens after the podcast. Now, I don't know why, but I feel like we have like good stuff to talk about, you know?
We always have good stuff to talk about.
Well, we always have good stuff to talk about, but like,
what are you trying to say, Corey? We don't got good stuff to talk about?
We have filler, okay? We have filler.
No, this is not filler. This is quality content. Filler is what they, when they grind up newspaper and stick it in your lunch food, or whatever it is. that's
like
filler.
It's like a chicken nugget.
It's filler. Yeah, it's all ground up newspaper and asbestos.
Asbestos. Yeah, they clean out all the asbestos from all the old buildings. They contain it, and they're like, it's like chicken.
What are we gonna do with all this asbestos?
Yeah, or we're gonna be like just like chicken food. They feed all the chickens this shit, and then that's their half their chicken.
Right there. Asbestos chickens. Yeah. I wonder what asbestos tastes like.
Chicken nuggets.
Like chicken nuggets. Tastes like heaven until you die.
Like Ronald McDonald's nutsack.
Yes, his taint. Oh man, does Ronald McDonald have a taint?
Probably not.
Probably not. I think he's one of those, like, Barbies.
Yeah, it's just all...
Or the Ken dolls.
Anatomically correct.
They made him that way so he couldn't be a pedophile.
Yeah.
No matter how hard he tried. No,
but he's just still trying. He's like... Damn, it work.
Take a smooth surface.
Yeah, exactly. I'm raping you. I'm raping you.
Oh, God.
I don't know. You know that chicken nuggets are tempura fried? I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Tempura fried.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. Tempura batter instead of a regular fucking flour and other shit.
Batter.
Yeah, egg yolk and flour and all that crap.
Oh boy.
Ask Jim. See how I turned that around into a very boring conversation?
Yeah, that turned out. It's pretty good. I like that. I like where we were going.
Yeah, from.
Then we did a 180.
Pedophilia to cooking tips.
Just tempura batter.
Yeah.
But dude,
it is so good.
He can pull down his pants in court and be like, can't prosecute this. Yeah. Can't prosecute this. Nothing happened. Now I'm just picturing Ronald McDonald with a strap on.
I'm gonna get it one way or another.
No, you're gonna get it one way or another.
Oh my god.
That's my child one!